I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome in to Gwen and Chris. It's the happy hour, everybody, and we got a lot to be happy about. Day after the Aztecs qualify for a historic berth in the Final Four, it is Gwen and Chris joining you from our Odyssey Palace studios here in San Diego. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, Tony Gwynn Jr., he's the other half of the title of this show, you know. He will be back with us tomorrow. Tony is traveling back from spring training with the Padres. They played their final spring training game earlier today, beat the Mariners 4-2. Finish up spring training with a 15-14 record. Not quite the Cactus League title that Scraby was going after, but
no,
we'll take it nonetheless. It's an amazing week to be talking sports in America's finest city. I don't know that there's been many weeks like this where you're talking about a Padre team embarking on what a lot of people think will be a World Series run, maybe the first in franchise history. And before we get to that, we have a week to talk about the Aztecs making the Final Four. It still sounds remarkable to hear that. And San Diego State accomplished it yesterday with a 57-56 victory over the Creighton Blue Jays. In the Elite Eight, they take the South Regional Championship, and now they face Florida Atlantic in a hard-to-predict men's Final Four. And the other side will have UConn against Miami. But as I said earlier, and I've said a couple of times today, Scraby, the thing that I keep going over in my mind is that this is something that always happens to another city. I mean, think of like Virginia Commonwealth, you think of Butler, Texas Tech, Auburn, everybody seems like has made a run to the Final Four. St. Peter's got to the Elite Eight.
Well, who was that school? Loyola of Chicago.
Loyola of Chicago got to the Final Four. Very good one, Scraby.
Sister Jean. I mean,
there's been Sister Jean's team. Yeah. It seems like everybody's had their moment, you know, their one shining moment. Everybody but the city of San Diego. We haven't had any shining moments until this run by this Aztec team right now. And it is our turn to shine a little bit, and Darion Trammell and Lamont Butler and Matt Bradley and Adam Seiko and Micah Parrish and Jaden Ledee and Agueke Arope, my favorite player, not to discount any of the other guys, Nathan Mensah and Keyshawn Johnson. I think I hit all nine. To me, it's the only better starting nine than that is maybe the one that the Padres have on the baseball field. Their starting nine's pretty good, too.
Yes.
But that Aztec nine, they've been remarkable, and they support each other, and they pick each other up, and they find a way to play defense better than any team in the really we've seen in college basketball in a while. And, you know, defy all the predictions. I it's funny because a lot of people look at the Aztecs and say, wow, they've been lucky. They only had to play Charleston. Well, first of all, you all picked Charleston
exactly
to beat them. And then they had to play Furman. Well, you all picked Furman to beat them.
Exactly.
Then they had to play Alabama. That was their one tough game. Well, you all picked Alabama to beat them.
Yep.
Then they had to play Creighton. They got a break there. Well, you all picked Creighton to beat them. Clark Kellogg? I mean, he's on an absolute roll. I think he's picked against the Aztecs in every single game. My favorite guy is Charles Barkley. I know he picked Creighton yesterday because I tuned in exclusively to the pregame show to hear what Charles was going to say about the game. And I think Charles and a lot of people say the same thing. The Aztecs just don't have enough offense. They can't run away from you. It's going to be a close game. Defensively, they're good, but Creighton's offense is too good. They're going to find a way to make a few shots and win the game. And the Aztecs just wouldn't let them. I mean, they just wouldn't let them. It's not like Creighton didn't have chances.
No, they definitely
The Aztecs
had chances.
Would go forever, it seemed, yesterday without a basket. I mean, it was you'd cringe. You know, the Aztecs would get the ball, throw up a brick, and you'd be like, ugh! But then Creighton would come down and they'd stop them.
What
then
about
the Aztecs would get the ball, throw up another brick, Creighton would rebound, go down, and the Aztecs would stop them
What
again.
About that inbounds play where they threw it over the head and into the Creighton guy's arms?
That was my favorite moment of the day. It was terrible. Are
I
you
know.
Kidding me?
I
in
know.
Fact, the one thing I'm going to say about the Aztecs as they move forward here, they got to work on a couple of out-of-bounds plays.
They do.
I mean, they had a little trouble with that against Alabama. At the end of that game, I think they got tied up for a jump ball and cost them a late possession in that game. And that turnover yesterday, that can't happen.
No.
I mean, you're up by two with 30 seconds to go. That's your game.
That's crazy.
And you throw it right to the Creighton kid, and he lays it in, and all of a sudden you're tied, and then it has to come down to the wire. And we've talked about the foul call about as much as we can talk about it. Here's my number one thought on the foul call. I don't care. It was a foul. It was called a foul, and the Aztecs are into the Final Four. That's my number one thought on it. If you want my number two thought on it, I thought it wasn't much of a foul, but it was a foul. He grabbed him by the waist. He tugged on his shirt. He shoved him off of his shot just a little bit. He affected the shot. So I thought it was a foul. And for anybody that says, well, the referee shouldn't blow a foul that decides the game, keep in mind what I've said a million times, and that is if you don't call the foul, then you can be deciding the game. So either way, the referee has to kind of decide the outcome there. And if he thought it was a foul, he called it. It was. And give Darion Trammell credit for making the free throw. Everybody seems like that was just a given. It wasn't a given to me, Scraby. I've seen the Aztecs miss 30-yard field goals to win games against number one ranked teams before. I've seen the Aztecs have chances over and over again. And a shot rims out, a rebound is fumbled away, a steal is made. Something crazy happens, like Kemba Walker falls down and they call a technical foul.
Yeah, that's weird.
I mean, I've seen it all. And, you know, the only thing I hadn't seen was the Aztecs to have two free throws to go to the Final Four and miss them both. But you know what? They didn't miss them both.
Nope.
Trammell made that second free throw. How tough was that free throw?
Very tough.
I mean, you talk about the whole world being on your shoulders right there, and he knocks in the free throw, and, I mean, just utter happiness and joy from me, and I know many of my Aztec friends and family and faith, and, I mean, just the phone calls, the texts, the tweets I got yesterday from people, you know, it made me feel a little better about me crying on Friday.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because everybody was crying yesterday. I mean, that's all everybody kept telling me. I got tears in my eyes. I just can't believe it. I'm overwhelmed with emotion.
Should we play your video?
You want to play the beginning of my video? This is Friday night after the Aztecs beat Alabama. And Scraby and I were still in Peoria, and Scraby filmed a video of me talking about the Aztecs beating Alabama, and I think it was still too close to the end of the game.
It was maybe 2 minutes after the end of the game.
I was so overcome with emotion when they knocked off Alabama that I hadn't gotten rid of all my emotion before this video started.
By the Aztecs. I'm almost speechless.
Are you crying?
I'm almost crying. It was incredible. Scraby and I watched the whole game somehow while we did our radio show. Darion Trammell, unbelievable.
All right, that's good.
I want to go back to
it. If you want to see the whole video, Scraby's got it on the Twitter feed.
I love this part.
I'm almost speechless.
Are you crying? That's what I took so much heat for.
You did take Crete for that because a lot of people understood why I was crying.
I wasn't even saying, are you crying as in you're a wimp? I was saying, are you crying like it surprised me so much?
Hey, man.
And your wife was right behind us. And
she knows that I get emotional when my teams win. And when they win a game like that, I mean, it's just it's off the charts. So waited a long time for that one, Scraby. As I told you earlier today, that win was about 35 years in the making as far as I was concerned. Been waiting a long, long time for a win like that as a San Diego State Aztec. So that's why there were tears of joy all over San Diego County yesterday. We'll see how it turns out on Saturday. We'll be talking a ton more about the Final Four this week. Here's something we haven't talked about yet today. The most famous sports team in the world is coming to San Diego. That's right. Manchester United has announced that they will play a friendly in Snapdragon Stadium on San Diego on July 25th. And here's the team that they're going to be playing, Wrexham, which is owned by the actor Ryan Reynolds. And this Wrexham,
that's why
you know
familiar.
Who they are.
Yes.
Wrexham is the one that they did a whole Netflix series on.
Okay, now it's all making sense.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds is the owner of that team. That's who Manchester United is going to be playing on July 25th in San Diego, said John Murtaugh, Manchester United's director of football. This will be the first time the team has visited San Diego. We are looking forward to playing in front of our passionate U.S. fans at the Snapdragon Stadium. Preseason tours are always a great occasion to give opportunities for our promising young academy players to gain valuable experience. And this match against Wrexham is a great example of that. I just think it's a great chance to go. I mean, honestly, I'm not a big soccer guy, but for Manchester United to come to San Diego, that's a big deal.
It is a huge deal.
That is a huge deal.
Yeah.
And, I think it's going to be really exciting. It's July the 25th. I don't know if any tickets have gone on sale yet for it, but it'll be Manchester United coming to San Diego to face Wrexham in a friendly.
I feel like
Snapdragon Stadium.
I feel like Snapdragon is the perfect place to watch a soccer game, a football game, because it's big enough where you can fit a lot of people, but it's not too big that you feel so far away from the field that you're out of it.
And I'm
planning on going to this game.
And speaking of Snapdragon Stadium, the San Diego Wave opened their season over the weekend against Chicago Red Stars, and I believe they won that match. 3-2, was that the final? Scraby, did you get a final?
You know,
on
I did not get a final.
I didn't get a
final. Thanks for bringing it up, Chris.
I didn't get a final on it either, but I know it was 2-2, and then I saw that they won, so I'm assuming it was 3-2. But the Wave did open up the season with a victory. But yeah, you soccer fans ought to be pretty excited about this. Manchester United coming to, even I'm excited about it, and I'm not a soccer fan.
Yeah, they did win 3-2.
All right, so good on the Wave and good on Manchester United for coming to San Diego for the first time ever. Wrexham manager Phil Parkinson said the match against Manchester United sure to be a memorable occasion. We are looking forward to being able to play in the United States for the first time in the club's history, that being the Wrexham side of things.
I think that, I mean, this is obviously a big deal, but this is an even bigger deal for San Diego, because that I feel like that's showing different teams around the world or teams within the country that San Diego is a place where you can go and you will get a stadium filled.
City of Champions as of next Monday night, Scraby. That's what I'm going to call us, the City of Champions as of next Monday night.
One game at a time, Chris.
I know. We're all just a couple of wins away from finally being called the City of Champions. We'll take a break. When we come back, we will get you some fun Final Four facts that you will only learn on this program. And we'll take a little look at these four teams and their NCAA tournament histories and the Final Four history with this group of teams getting ready to go to Houston for the Final Four on Saturday. Fun Final Four facts are next on Gwen and Chris.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
What's going through your mind when you miss that first free throw? And you make the second to send San Diego State to the Final Four.
It's all about believing in yourself. I feel like I put in the work. I had nothing to be nervous about. I think the game, it's just a game. I'm doing this for my family. I'm doing this for people back home. My grandpa, my brother who I lost. I'm just doing it for them.
See, Scraby, I wasn't the only one crying after that game yesterday. Darion Trammell
almost got me crying right here in studio.
Almost got you sobbing a little bit there. Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. 5:20 is the time. Chris Ello and Scraby together here in our Odyssey Palace studios. Time for some fun Final Four factoids for you as we kick off a Final Four week here in San Diego. The first of its kind. The Aztecs getting ready to take on Florida Atlantic in the Final Four on Saturday. Love that song.
Me too.
Love that song.
I don't really like the One Shining Moment song, but whatever.
Well, it'll sound pretty good if the Aztecs are cutting down the nets on the next Monday
Very
night.
Very true.
No team in this year's Final Four was in the preseason rankings.
Oh, wow. That is good.
Except for, do you know who?
San Diego State?
San Diego State, yeah. The Aztecs were ranked 19 in the preseason AP poll. Connecticut, Miami, and Florida Atlantic, none of those three were even ranked in the preseason.
Wow.
And now here we are, down to the Final Four. Aztecs were the only ranked team. We know that this is the, no number ones in the Final Four. No number ones even made it to the Elite Eight. That had never happened
That's
before.
That's insanity.
That really is. It's the fourth time that the Final Four has featured no number ones. The last time was in 2011. That particular year, you had number three UConn, you had a four seed Kentucky, you had an eight seed Butler, and you had an 11 seed Virginia Commonwealth. And UConn ended up winning the championship that year in 2011.
One thing keeps
they'll be attempting to do again.
Yeah, one thing you said last week that keeps popping in my head, that anytime San Diego State made it to the Sweet 16, UConn wins the championship, which doesn't bode well for us.
I know it doesn't, but all those things are coming to a change this year, Scraby. Only five. In the history of the tournament, there's been 43 tournaments since they did the seeding, all right? In those 43 tournaments, only five teams lower than a three seed have ever won. Only five. That will become six this year because nobody in the Final Four is a three seed or better.
I think this is the best way to do it. I'm tired of the blue blood teams. So I'm looking forward to this Final Four.
I saw somebody somewhere say, you know, it's okay for 1 year for it to be all of these fun teams. I'm like, what? Does the Final Four have to be exclusive to Duke and North Carolina and Kansas and Kentucky?
Yeah.
And Michigan State? No.
I'm having more fun with this because a team like the Florida Atlantic Owls, I would never even think about. But now they're playing in the Final Four.
71 of the 86 finalists have been a three seed or higher. That will be the case this year. Both teams in the final will be lower than a 3 seed. The only time there's been a championship game where both teams were lower than a 3 seed, 2014, and again, UConn was involved. They were a 7 seed. They beat number 8 Kentucky in the final. There's never been a number 5 seed against a number 9 seed matchup in the Final Four. There will be Saturday when the Aztecs take on Florida Atlantic. There's only been one previous number 4 versus number 5 seed, UConn-Miami era, 4 and a 5. The only other time that happened, 1996. Syracuse was a 4. Mississippi State was a 5. Let's talk about the four teams a little bit. We'll start with UConn. They're in their 6th Final Four. They won it all in 1999, 2004, 2011, and 2014. Of course, as you said, Scraby, in 11 and 14, the Aztecs were in the Sweet 16. And both of those years, UConn ended up winning the championship. They beat San Diego State in the Sweet 16 in 2011.
Which, by the way, was the same day on Friday. We were walking out of our broadcast, and I went to the game in 2014 against UConn, and it popped up on my phone that it was exactly happened on that day in 2011.
Yeah, it was exactly 12 years later that the Aztecs got past the Sweet 16. UConn is a number 4 seed. How many number 4 seeds do you think have ever won the championship?
3.
Only one.
Oh.
1997, Arizona Wildcats, the only number 4 seed ever to win the championship. Only 3 have been to the championship game. The last was Michigan in 2013. UConn is beating its opponent so far this year by an average of 22.5 points.
Yeah, they do put up some points.
The all-time record for a champion, Indiana 81, won their games by 22.6. So that's how dominant UConn has been. Let's talk about the Miami Hurricanes. They're in their first Final Four. Jim Larrañaga, their coach, is in his second Final Four. He took George Mason there as an 11 seed in 2006. George Mason beat UConn on their way to get to the Final Four that year, trying to beat UConn again this Saturday. Comebacks have been the story for Miami of Florida. They were down to Drake in their opening game, 55-47 with 4.5 minutes to play before they closed on a 16-1 run. Yesterday, they wiped out a 13-point lead. Over the final 13 minutes, the ACC regular season champs, the Miami Hurricanes. On we go to Florida Atlantic, number 9 seed.
Boo!
In their first ever Final Four. No number 9 seed has ever won it.
Oh, really?
No. No number 9 seed has ever got to the championship game. The only other two number 9 seeds to reach the Final Four, Pennsylvania in 1979.
The Quakers?
The Quakers. And Wichita State in 2013.
Oh, yeah, I remember the Shockers.
Yeah. They're the only two number 9s ever to get this far before Florida Atlantic did it. Villanova, number 8 seed in 1985, is the lowest seed ever to win it all. Number 9, Florida Atlantic, could set a new standard if they were to win it all this year. But we are not going to allow that to happen as we focus in on the San Diego State Aztecs. The Aztecs in their first Final Four, we know that. They are trying to become the fifth... I'm sorry. The Aztecs are trying to become the first number 5 seed ever to win the championship. Only 3 have made the championship game. The last was Butler in 2010. The Aztecs have won their games by an average of 9.3 points. You compare that to UConn, which is won by 22.5.
Feels closer, though.
It does feel closer because most of those 9.3 points came in one game against Furman.
Yeah.
The other 3 games are much closer. But here's one thing that the Aztecs can hang their hat on. They have held 4 of their last 5 opponents going back to Utah State in the Mountain West Championship game to their lowest point total of the season. And yesterday they held powerhouse offense Creighton to just 23 points in the second half. Aztecs doing it with defense, hoping that defense can carry them for 2 more ball games.
I mean, defense wins championships.
That's right. That's right, Scraby. You said it.
Chris is ready for this game today.
Let's play ball. So, it is interesting. UConn's a 4 seed. Only one number 4 seed has ever won it. The Aztecs and Miami are both 5 seeds. No 5 seeds ever won it. And Florida Atlantic's a 9 seed. And no number 9 seed has ever won it. So, in one way or another, it's going to be kind of historic here. down in Houston. We'll take a break when we come back. Mark Ziegler shares stories of a championship season and a championship win yesterday in the Elite Eight. The fine writer from the San Diego Union-Tribune is our guest when Gwen and Chris returns. All right, basking in the glow of a Final Four berth, welcome back to Gwen and Chris. Crisello, Matt Scraby, together in our Odyssey Palace studios. San Diego, California, soon to become the city of champions, Scraby. I'm telling you, by next Monday night, we're going to have a new name for this town.
I can't believe you are taking this stance. As someone who is as...
I got nothing to lose at this point. I mean, look, we're close here.
Superstitious is the word I'm looking for.
I am pretty superstitious. I shouldn't be saying anything right now, but... You know what? We're this close. We might as well go ahead and win the whole thing. I mean, that's just how you got to look
at it. At this point, why not?
Why not? This hour on 97.3 The Fan, brought to you by Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's Discount Furniture. It's home of the world-famous Bob-O-Pedic mattresses with all the comfort and quality of a national mattress brand for half the price, no matter your budget. There's a Bob-O-Pedic Memory Foam Hybrid or Hybrid Plus mattress for you. Check them out. It's my Bob's. MyBobs.com. NCAA Women's Elite Eight Regional Final. Number one, South Carolina, is just so much bigger and more athletic than Maryland. Number one seed against a number two, but that number one is just so far out there. South Carolina leads 58-45 late in the third quarter. Maryland got off to a good start, hit some three-pointers, but South Carolina is so big, so tall, so strong. There's just not a whole lot Maryland can do. So, looks like South Carolina is going to win its 42nd game in a row.
That's a lot of games.
And they will advance to the Final Four themselves, where they would take on your Caitlin Clark and Iowa team in the Final Four.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Caitlin Clark now after 41 points.
It'll be interesting to see Caitlin Clark go against South Carolina. I will say that. 41-point triple-double she put up last night for the Hawkeyes. The other game is a little bit later tonight, Ohio State and Virginia Tech. That will determine the final berth in the Final Four on the women's side. Men's side, Final Four set. I don't know if you're aware of that yet.
I kind of am.
Final Four, first game, Saturday, 3 o'clock, San Diego State. What?
Why is San Diego State... Let's talk about this for a second.
Right.
Why is San Diego State keep getting the bad draw? Not that this is a bad draw, but they've played all the early games.
Well, it's
all
working.
Of them.
It's working out so far,
it
so
is.
Stick with it. I'm not surprised that they got the first game, because they normally put the higher-seeded, more well-known teams in the second game of the Final Four. So... the Aztecs are going to have to settle for being, the second on the marquee. UConn is the marquee team that's in this tournament now. Miami of Florida, so they're going to get the cushy second game. But it doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't
mean a thing. Last year Kansas played the first game of the Final Four. They saved North Carolina Duke for the second game, and Kansas ended up winning the championship. So. It doesn't mean a whole lot. Not only that, if you win on Saturday afternoon, get a little extra time to rest before the Monday night final. So we'll keep that in mind.
You think that 2 hours is a big deal?
It's a big deal. It might have been all that separated the Aztecs from Creighton yesterday.
Who knows? Who knows?
I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of difference between those two teams yesterday. That's for sure. We know that. All right, let's check some traffic. On the flip side of that, Mark Ziegler, who's been amazing all year long from the San Diego Union-Tribune, taking us through a championship season and a Final Four winning performance yesterday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella
is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, joining us on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fan Hotline, our guy who covers Aztec basketball for the San Diego Union-Tribune, Mr. Mark Ziegler, joins us. Mark, you are now covering a Final Four team, not just a great team, not just a great basketball program, but a Final Four team. I mean, it's still something that, to me, it's getting used to a little bit. I mean, even though it happened yesterday, I still find myself repeating it over and over because I'm amazed.
Yeah, I am too. I'm a little numb. I mean, it was surreal. I mean, just the way the game ended and just trying to take it all in. I walked down the floor, watched them cut down nets, just saw how happy people were. And it wasn't just the players. Of course, the players are going to be happy, but their families. And even in the stands, I saw people crying. I mean, you know, and if you've been around and you have, you know what it was like. If you go back 25 years with this program and this university and this city, you know what it was like. And I mean, teams don't make that kind of jump and get to the Final Four. And when they do, it's an emotional, really emotional event. I know a lot of people who weren't there, who were just, they said they just sat in their couch and cried. Couldn't believe it happened.
I was among those people, Mark. So, and I don't mind.
You should be. I mean, you've been there. You saw it. You were in Peterson Gym and saw those games and that team. And, you know, I mean, it's incredible.
Talking to Mark Ziegler here on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fan Hotline. And let's go back to the Alabama game on Friday. The Aztecs showed a lot of guts because they had to come back against the best team in the tournament. Alabama looked big. They looked strong. But the Aztecs were able to handle it. As someone who was there watching the game, I mean, how impressive was that, that they were able to come back, number one, and number two, beat the number one team?
Well, I think one thing that doesn't get talked enough about is Brian Dutcher's timeout with 11:25 to go in the game. You know, he could have waited for the next stoppage and got a freebie with a media timeout, and he normally does that. He gets criticized sometimes for not calling enough timeouts and saving them for late game situations, although with this team and its track record, he needs them, and he knows that. But he called one. And sometimes when a coach calls a timeout, players know when the media timeout's going to come, right? They know exactly. They just turn, you know, the next whistle, they just turn and start walking to the bench because they know it's the media timeout. It's under 16, it's under 12, under 8, under 4. And when you call one, that gets their attention a little bit. Like, oh, boy, okay. We got to stop the momentum here. We got to switch the inertia a little bit. And that was a huge timeout. And they talked, and you know, Darren Trammell talked in that timeout and said, guys, it's March. We got to go on our run right now or it's over. And, you know, I guess what he should have said is, I'm going to go on my run right now. And that's what he did. But to me, that was the key moment. You know, he comes out, he hits a three, he gets a steal, easy layup. And it's a 4-point game, and you know he scored some baskets after that. Other people did too in the 12-0 run, but those two baskets were really, really, really important, and just changed the whole complexion of the game.
Mark Ziegler's with us. You know, Mark, I saw an amazing tweet that was about a 2-minute video of maybe a little longer even. It was a local television station in Marin County that actually was sitting with Darion Trammell's family during the Alabama game, and I don't know if you happen to see this on Twitter somewhere, but I watched it, and it was glorious to watch. He had maybe 100 people over at the house, you know, in Marin County watching him play and talking about this young man and what he's gone through and how he's come to where he's been. You know him a little bit and better than the rest of us. Where did all of this come from, this weekend come from? Because he was honestly just not playing very well heading into this tournament. And for him to come up with these two games was just special.
Yeah, I mean, he has a tattoo that says, I think it says either small city or little city, big dreams. And that's because Marin City is this weird little enclave. It's got a history. I think it goes back to employees who came to work at the maybe the prison or something. I mean, it's got this weird history. It's kind of stuck geographically. It's heavily, heavily black. It's not very wealthy, and it's just very small and connected. And when he and I look, I grew up in the Bay Area. And I didn't even know about Marin City. I'd heard of it, but I just kind of thought, oh, it's just another suburb in Marin County. Well, when they played Stanford this year, they have an entire section in Maples Pavilion of all these guys cheering for him. And after the game, he went up and I took a photo of it. He sat in around like 100, 200 people who all drove down to see him play. And at that moment, I realized, wow, this is kind of a big deal. And I know the San Francisco Chronicle did a story, Ann Kelly and the columnist went and watched the game with them. But where this came from, I think it was a case of he was playing so poorly that it gets to the point, and I'm sure baseball players go the same thing. They get such a bad slump. They're like, look, nothing else can go wrong. I might as well just relax now and stop pressing. I mean, I'm going to miss every shot anyway. I have no expectations. And then boom, you start making them. And I think that's probably what happened because he really was not playing well. He still was playing decent defense, but I mean, he was turning the ball over. And he went through so much. I mean, he's such a good guy that he never admits like, you know, all the pressure he's feeling. But I finally got him to admit that he heard all the whispers. I said, come on, you had to have heard what people were saying. He goes, I heard it. Yeah. I know. And I don't know if it motivated him. He goes, I just get it. They're fans. They're passionate. But he just turned it around, and now he's the player that everybody expected him to be. And, you know, he was the first couple games of the season. He was the last couple games, and in between it was really up and down. And, you know, it's cool to see for a guy like him who just, you know, no offers out of high school and had to work for everything. He's a small guy. No one respected him. It's just cool when you see those guys finally make it.
Talking to Mark Ziegler here about the Aztecs on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fan Hotline. And I want to talk about two guys who have been with the team for a very long time, Nathan Mensah and Egweka Rope. Without those guys, I mean, Mensah had 5 blocks on Friday. A Rope is all over the place. Chris's favorite player is a Rope. Can you just talk about those guys and what they have brought to this team over the past 4 or 5 seasons and trying to help them get to this point?
Yeah, they're so experienced, and they both are such key parts of the defense. And they do so many things that, like, the average person doesn't see. And, when they talk about their defense, they have their base defense, right? But good offenses are going to stress that, and they're going to put you in bad situations. So they call it – one of the tenets of their defense is fixing it. And that means, you know, look, some guy got beat. Well, just figure it out. And it's happening really fast. And those two guys are probably the two best fix-it guys on their defense. You know, Mensah because he can block shots, and Arope because he just has a sense of what's going to happen next. He's such a veteran player. He has such a high IQ basketball-wise that he just knows where, okay, this is going to break down. I need to be over here. Here's where the ball is going to go. I need to go get it. And that's what really separates their defense. That's why it's an elite defense. I mean, you can have a good defense, but it's what happens when it gets, you know, a team breaks it down a little bit, and they're elite at that, those two guys. And that's, you know, offensively, a Rope, you know, he doesn't do anything all game, and he makes probably the two biggest baskets of the game. Yeah. And then Mensah makes the third biggest basket of the game, that little jumper in the lane that he struggled with all year. And that's just the veterans in him, like, forget everything that happened before. Now we're in a, you know, we need a basket, I'm going to get one.
Yeah. I think Mensah really shocked Alabama on Friday night. I think they just could not believe that he was blocking all of those shots. And
I know.
I think they looked up and went, man, this guy, all right. Mark, you said something to us last week that going into the Alabama game, that this team fully expected to be in the Final Four. And then you're talking about the Aztecs, not Alabama. And I thought of that all weekend long, that they believed, they had a belief that maybe none of us could get to, a belief level that none of us could get to. My question now is, can they get the belief back going into the Final Four? Because it's one thing to qualify for the Final Four. It's a whole other thing to actually go out and try to win the darn thing.
I think the hard part for them is done. I think the hardest game in this tournament was the first one against Charleston. I mean, I really do. That game, they were so nervous. There was so much angst about, you know. And I think what happened is this year, the difference between this team and all the others that came before them is that the other teams didn't have any hype about them, right? I mean, no one knew that that 2010-2011 team was going to be as good as it was. You know, they thought it would be good, but 34-3 good. And then the Xavier Thames team, well, yeah, they might be okay. And then all of a sudden they're in the Sweet 16. And then that Malachi Flynn team wasn't ranked in the preseason. Nobody knew it was going to be that good. But this team, everyone expected to be good. And I think they played with the burden of expectations all season long. Whether it was the Mountain West, you're supposed to win the Mountain West. It was Maui, you're supposed to go and win Maui. You know, you're supposed to go to the Mountain West tournament and win that. And then you have to win a game in the NCAA tournament, or this season is a complete failure. And I think all that was weighing on him. You know, Brian Dutcher's never won a game in the NCAA tournament. And can he win the big one? And none of these players have ever won a game in the NCAA tournament. And so when they came out so nervous for that game, 11 turnovers in the first half, they looked terrible. They got out that win. Matt Bradley hits a big shot. Micah Parrish hits a big shot. They make their free throws. And they just relaxed. You could see it. They let everything go. They came out and played loose against Furman blew their doors off. And then came into that Alabama game like, hey, we got nothing to lose now. And that's how they're playing. And they're playing so loose and free. I mean, I think of all the teams going to the Final Four, they probably are in the best mental state. They're older. They think they're going to win it. You know, UConn has that burden of expectation now because they're the big favorite. Miami, you know, they just had a big comeback. Florida Atlantic's just happy to be there. And I think these guys are really focused, and I think they think they're going to win the national championship, and we'll see. But there's only four teams left. There's not 363 anymore like at the start of the season.
Last one for me, Mark, and I know the season isn't over yet, but this is just how my brain works. I've been seeing a bunch of different college coaches around the country getting poached from teams that made some noise in the NCAA tournament, and I saw a fan criticizing the Minnesota athletics program for not even giving Brian Dutcher an interview last year, but there's no reason to worry about Brian Dutcher being wooed by another school, is there?
Well, we'll see how everything tumbles. I mean, sometimes you have to wait till the season ends, you see who people want to hire because they can't really talk to them when they're still playing. So we're only, you know, a few days from that. But I think it's going to be, I don't want to say turbulent, but it's going to be a really active off season for this team because you're losing, you know, four players for sure. I think Keyshawn, you know, maybe 50-50, maybe he's on his way out. He's going to turn pro. That could be a fifth player, so you're going to have to go in the portal and grab guys. The good news is you have this run is going to help you with recruiting.
Yes.
But every one of their coaches, to your point, is going to get a call. Every single one. And it's going to be a question of do they want to go. And that's not just the assistants. That's going to be Sam Scholl. That's going to be a J.D. Pollock, you know, the director of player development. That's going to be the strength coach. That's going to maybe be the trainer. I mean, you know, Steve Fisher talks about rising tides float all boats. That's his big mantra about, you know, sticking together as a team and not trying to get individual numbers. Just have the team win and then everybody will benefit. Well, the tide is pretty high and these boats have been raised, are raising up pretty darn high. And so there's going to be a lot of demand for these guys. A guy like Dave Velasquez, I mean, who would not want him running their program? He runs their defense. He's been under Brian Dutcher for all these years. I mean, I don't think he wants to leave, but I think he's going to be in high demand. So it's going to make my life really busy. You know, the Final Four will end and the season won't end for me or for them. But it's going to be interesting to see how it all shakes out if they can keep the staff together because the staff is really, really a key element of what's happened here. There's such a veteran staff and so good in these quick turnarounds with the scouts.
They're probably trying to poach Mark Ziegler away from the UT.
I bet they are.
Another college basketball team somewhere. Mark, in 60 seconds or less, give me your quick first glance at Florida Atlantic. Because honestly, it's a team I didn't really watch a whole lot of in the tournament. I saw the first round game against Memphis, pretty exciting. How good are they? I mean, you know, 35-3 is nothing to sneeze at.
So I'm a voter in the AP Top 20. And I'm going to admit, never voted for Florida Atlantic. And I didn't vote for Charleston. I was one of three guys that didn't vote for Charleston when they got as high as 18. And after seeing them, I was kind of proud of that. Not that they were a terrible team. I just didn't think they were a top 25 team. Didn't think they looked the part. They didn't have the metrics. And I kind of felt the same way about Florida Atlantic, although I really hadn't seen them that much. And I've seen them now in the tournament four times. They're real. they are real. I mean, I'm kicking myself for missing that. I mean, they're in a legitimate team. They have a legitimate big from Russia. They have two really good guards. They play really fast. Dusty May is a really good coach who's about to make a ton of money somewhere. We'll find out as soon as they lose. So that, you know, this isn't going to be a walkover. At the same time, it's really hard to have that up-tempo style in a Final Four, in the football dome, in this big moment. And I think San Diego State will be able to control tempo. I also think this is a four-out, one-in team that likes to shoot threes. And if you've seen any games in San Diego State during the tournament, you'll know the main thing they're doing is shutting teams down from three-point land. I mean, Alabama's 3-27. Creighton was 2-17, and this guy's like live and die on the 3-point line. So I think all those things trend really well for San Diego State. But that said, this is a Cinderella, and they've already knocked off one Cinderella in Furman, and they're going to have to knock off another now.
Mark, thanks so much for everything. I love talking with you. I love your article today. I couldn't wait to read it, and you put everything into perfect perspective as always. And we'll catch up with you later, man. Let's finish it off.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, buddy. There he goes, Mark Ziegler from the San Diego Union Tribune, joining us on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Chevrolet, find new roads. Yes, indeed, Mark Ziegler doing a nice job wrapping things up for us on a Final Four Monday, just 5 days away. Aztecs are going to take their shot in the Final Four against Florida Atlantic. Of course, before that, Padres home opener Thursday against the Colorado Rockies. Tony Gwynn Jr. will be back with us full-time tomorrow and Wednesday. He'll be back in studio ahead of the Padres opening game on Thursday. We'll have more Padre tickets to give away on the show tomorrow, so
yes,
make sure you tune in for that. And Steve Lapis, CBS college basketball analyst, will be among our guests tomorrow to talk about the Aztecs and their attempt to go even further in March Madness.
I know that Steve Lapis is an Aztec guy.
Well, he does a lot of Aztec games, so he's pretty familiar with them. And we'll see what he has to say about their chances moving forward. South Carolina, they're going to the Final Four again, 4 minutes away. South Carolina 79, Maryland 63. Scraby, nice job today.
You too.
Well done. Tony Gwynn Jr., we'll see you tomorrow. And Chris Ella will talk to all of you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Don't be late. Gwynn and Chris might give you those tickets away right at the beginning of the show tomorrow.
You never know. Never know.
Got to be on time to Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. Have a good evening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.